This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. It is spring in New England, always welcome, but after a mild winter doesn't feel quite so euphoric or so hard won as usual, or as last year, certainly. We wondered how the warming climate affects the natural world, and birds in particular, those harbingers of spring. Eric Masterson is with us. He is author of Bird Watching in New Hampshire. Eric, great to have you back with us.
Great to be here, Virginia. Thanks for having me on.
So we did have a very mild winter, especially when comparing the heavy snow of 2014 and cold of 2013. So how, maybe even going back to those other years, how does that affect bird migration here in New England?
Well, the first thing to recognize is the birds start moving at the end of February when the first blackbirds and show up and waterfowl starts moving. So really, we've just got a month to look at. But still, it's a really good question. So last year, if we just look at waterfowl, last year waterfowl movement peaked in early April, because as I still remember last year, it's seared into my memory. I had to shovel so much snow. And so that slowed down waterfowl migration relative to this year by a full month. So waterfowl has already moved through. It basically peaked in early March up the Connecticut River Valley and the Merrimack River Valley.
Okay, so now this is an early migration then. What are we seeing now in New England, especially because of this mild winter? Did they arrive early?
Yeah, so if you can think of migrants as long-distance migrants, the ones that winter in the tropics and South America, versus near-distance migrants that might winter in Connecticut down to the Gulf states, and they can respond to weather here because they're here, and they know if North American climate is unseasonably warm, versus a bird that's in Brazil doesn't have any idea. So those birds tend to migrate when they migrate, the same every year, and they get here when they get here, which is usually for those birds in May. But the near distance migrants like phoebes and blackbirds, all of those birds that arrive in March and April are showing up early. So I have my first phoebes at the house. This is a great time for folks to learn birdsong, I should point out, because in May, when the forests are just alive with song, it's really hard for beginners. But if you start tuning in now as birds dribble in, especially early birds like pine warblers. So in May, we'll have 25 species of warbler passing through the state. Right now, you'll hear two species maximum, yellow-rumped warbler and pine warbler. And people think of birdsong, they most often think of warblers because they're such vocal birds. And so now you just have to sort out two species. And as the weeks progress, you'll add one here, one there. And, you know, I think it's a great way to learn your song.
Well, let's listen to just a few of those. Let's hear from the pine warbler. And also you mentioned phoebes. Let's hear from the eastern phoebe. So what is coming now for the more distant migrating birds, and where are we going to see them?
Right now, they're in Texas, in southern states, because it's a long way from Brazil. So they started out in February, and right now they're heading into the lower 48, and they'll get here in early May. So that would be Blackburnian warblers, bay-breasted warblers. There's 25 species of warblers, the indigo buntings, some species of sparrows. There are quite a number of birds, flycatchers. There are quite a number of birds that don't get here till May, basically because they have to come from so far away. It's really a direct correlation.
So what happens in a case, Eric, like this year, when, you know, the ground has been clear for a long time, so a lot of food has been picked out already by, you know, moles, grubs, squirrels are already out of their dens. Any competition or any shortage of food in a case like this when the birds come home to roost?
Absolutely, yeah. I have a colleague at the Harris Center, Mead Caddo, and he's a huge proponent of feeding birds in spring. And his argument, and it's a good argument, his argument is that the production of food happens in summer and fall, and then it's eaten through winter. And by this time of year, there's really slim pickings, and it's at odds, I think, with Fish and Game, who would like everyone to take their feeders down in spring because of bears. But the reality is, this is a time of food scarcity, and so I feed birds. I take my feeders down at night, and so I try and do right by Fish and Game's advice. But I do feed the birds now, because when they get back, certainly until the flowers are out on trees and there's some insect biomass around, there's really not a lot in the way of food.
So any interesting behavior that a birder is likely to observe in the month of April, in the spring, mating, nesting?
Yeah, I mean, I can think of a couple of species that are really, really cool. So woodcock are a species of shorebird. They're an early returnee, and right now they're displaying. Males do these fantastic flights where at dusk and dawn they fly up and make these twittering sounds by air passing through specially narrowed feathers on their wings. So it's not actually, it's a sound that's easily heard but not produced by the voice box of the bird. It's produced by air passing through the wing feathers. And they do these display flights to attract females and ward off other competing males. Snipe is another shorebird that has a similar display flight, and you can see those in anywhere where there's a potential for a bird to attract mates. So that, you know, for a woodcock, that would be meadows, ball fields. Snipe prefer more boggy habitat. And then there's killdeer, which is another shorebird. I'm picking on the shorebirds. Killdeer are another shorebird that arrives early, and they tend to nest on gravel banks. You can find them often in school places where you get extensive gravel patches. So I'm thinking of schoolyards, construction sites. They nest on the ground, and because they nest on the ground, they're somewhat at risk of being trod on or of a fox finding the eggs, the chicks. And so they have this wonderful broken wing display where they will call, if they see an intruder approach the nest, they will call loudly and stagger away with an apparent broken wing. But it's a trick to basically lure the threat away from the nest. And so they're setting up nests now, and they're quite a common bird. So there are three birds with three behaviors that are really cool to see.
All right. And since you mentioned that we should keep our ears out for them as well, let's hear a little bit from, let's hear the woodcock. And the killdeer, the great actor of the bird family that does this broken wing display. So, Eric, any significant rare bird sightings so far this spring?
Well, it's funny you should ask. This spring, of all springs, and I've been in this state 15 years, this spring has been the most remarkable. So we had two birds that stand out. In early March, a tufted duck, which is a European species of duck that breeds as close as Iceland. A stunning male showed up in a pond in Salem and attracted bird watchers from all over New Hampshire.
Wow.
People were very excited. First time it's ever been seen in the state. Huh. And if that wasn't exciting enough, that bird was rare, but it was blown out of the water by a redwing, which was exponentially rarer. There's only four previous records of redwing in the eastern United States, and one showed up in Hollis feeding with blackbirds. It's a species of thrush, not to be confused
with the redwing blackbird.
Yeah, completely different. That the redwing blackbird is obviously a blackbird, and this is a species of thrush closely related to the American robin. And it was feeding with robins on the baseball fields of Hollis High School. And you can tell a lot by a rarity, by the company it keeps. And this bird attracted birders from all over the United States, as far away as Toronto, Michigan. People got up at 1 a.m. in New York to drive up to see it. It stayed for 4 days. It was really quite remarkable.
Well, outside of that, any birding events you're highlighting right now for the spring?
Yeah. As I do every spring, I lead trips out to Star Island, which is the best, in my opinion, the best migration hotspot in New Hampshire. Audubon is doing its annual spring birdathon, which is a friendly competition to see as many species as possible in a given time period at a given location. And that's in May. And then the Harris Center, where I work, has several birding events in May also, and early June.
Well, we'll make sure and put links for all of those events at our website. And Eric Masterson, thank you so much for ringing in the spring with us.
Thanks so much, Virginia.
Eric Masterson of the Harris Center in New Hampshire, and also author of Birdwatching in New Hampshire. Again, more information on all those events and his book at wordofmouthradio.org.